And Roman, while you're turning there, I want to say thank you again. Our church, y'all have been awful good to me lately. I don't know if you're expecting me to die or something or what, but last week and this week, just for the for Pastor Appreciation Day and birthday and all, what a blessing, y'all. You just really made me feel little. And I thank God for you and what all y'all have done for me. The kind words, the cards. I got a stack of cards, and it really is encouraging. Really encouraging. I appreciate Brother Derek, the things he said, and Brother Jason, the things he said last week, and the kids singing for me. That was a real blessing to me. And I mean that. Sometimes I act like I don't, you know, need nothing like that, but it's a blessing, and I appreciate it. I want y'all to know that. Romans chapter 13 tonight. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture here. And I want to bring you just a message that I feel like is very needful, needs to be preached, as they say, in every church in the country. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. Bible said here that, and that, knowing the time. You know what time it is? I mean, on God's calendar, on God's clock. Knowing the time, that now it is high time, awake out of sleep. Remember that. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now what are we going to do? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Back there in verse number 11, it said, we know the time. Verse 12 said, the night is far spent, and that we are to wake out of sleep in verse 11. I want to preach tonight on the subject, Christians, wake up. The time that you and I are living in the Bible, is called night time. Of all the prophetic times in history, and in the church period, grace period that you and I live in, if you understand anything about Bible doctrine or rightly dividing the Word of Truth, you know that God made Adam and Eve back here. They had 4 days or 4,000 years in what's called the Old Testament. The Bible said one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is as one day, right? God worked for 6 days, and on the 7th day, somebody tell me what He did. He rested. Now, why did God rest the 7th day? God did not rest the 7th day because He was tired. God don't tired. He don't know what it is to be tired. He was showing us something. So the Lord, matter of fact, God didn't take, it didn't take Him 6 days of necessity. He did that for a reason. Couldn't have God have just spoke it all in 1 second? Sure He could have, but He didn't. He made this on the 1st day, rest this on the 2nd day, this on the 3rd day, this on the 4th day, this on the 5th day, this on the 6th day, 7th day, He rested. And then God looked back and He said, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. So if each one of those days represent 1,000 years, that'd be 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Jesus died on the cross. 5,000, 6,000, that's where we're at right now. 7,000, day of rest. We are at the very end of the 6,000 years of human history. The period that you are in lasts 2,000 years. It started at the resurrection and it ends at the rapture. It's divided into 4 parts of 500 years each. This period is called night time. If I had my chart up here, I'd show it to you. But it goes like this. The period you and I are living in, 2,000 years of church history, is called night time. And in the morning, the sun going to come up. And the sun rises, and the Lord will sit on the throne for 1,000 years. And brother, He'll have that 1,000 years rest. You heard that story about that little boy. He's trying to pull one on the Lord. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, is it true that a penny is the same as $1 million to you? And the Lord said, yeah. He said, so $1 million and a penny is the same to you? And the Lord said, yeah. He said, Lord, is it true that 1,000 years and a minute is the same to you? The Lord said, yeah. And he said, well, Lord, can I have $1 million? And the Lord said, wait a minute. Right. You remember that story? But see, the Lord does it. The Lord says, one day represents 1,000 years. 1,000 years represents one day. Now, according to that calendar tonight, according to that time schedule, you and me are at the very end of the sixth day. And it's just before the dawning of the new day. What a time for you and I to rise up and shine for the glory of God. And yet, most churches tonight are absolutely sound to sleep. Most churches tonight, they ought to have, you know how you have smoke coming up the chimney? They ought to have these little Z's coming out the chimney because they're sound asleep. Most churches tonight, here's the way most people go to church. They come walking in like zombies, one of these horror movies. Sound to sleep, spirit sleep. They come in, sit down on the seat like this, nod their head, sing a few songs, get up and leave. Sleep. Don't even know that they've been there. Sound asleep. Now, the night time is a dark time. The sun is gone. The moon is out. It's dark. And you always get sleepy. Now, the Bible teaches us that the sun, the S-U-N, is a type and picture of the sun, S-O-N. Everything you see about the sun out there is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the moon that you'll see, it's full. I guess y'all noticed that. That's why the bus kids were so mean this morning. The moon was full and is full. The moon's a picture of the church. The moon has no light of its own. All the moon's light comes from the light of the sun reflecting on it. While the sun's gone down, the moon shines and shines light on this dark world. And the only world this only light this world's ever going to see is the sun reflecting off us, the church, and reflecting. Like I said, the sun, the moon has no light. The reflection of the sun's rays give the moon its light. And you know what happens when the world comes between the moon and the sun? They call that an eclipse. And the moon has no light. And you know what's wrong with most churches tonight? They are in a total eclipse. The world has come between the moon and the sun and put their light out. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Our name of our church is Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm supposed to let this light shine all over Morganton. I'm going to let it shine. All around North Carolina, I'm going to let it shine. And we can't let the world come between us and the sun and block out the light that God's given us to shine with. Now we'll talk about nine for a few minutes. How many of you in here tonight have ever stayed up all night long till 6 o'clock in the morning? All right, that's just about everybody in here. Maybe you did it just acting stupid like we used to when I was a teenager. Maybe you did it because you were sick with a loved one in the hospital. Maybe you do it because you was in so much pain you couldn't sleep. Maybe you was worried and tore up and walked the floors all night. Or maybe you done it to pray. I've done it for about all those reasons. And I remember the first time I ever stayed up all night, I was about 15 or 16, me and these boys, we walked all over Nebo bouncing a basketball and decided we was going to stay up all night. And the hardest time to stay awake was just before it got about 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning. Oh, my soul, how hard it is to stay awake. And that's where we are tonight. It's our job to stay awake all night and hold a fort. For the Lord is coming. And tonight, brother, we're divided into four parts. Now, the night time in the Bible is divided into four watches. The Lord said, if he come at evening or at night, midnight, or cock crowing, or the morning. The rooster crowed at 3 o'clock in the morning. The morning was 6 o'clock in the morning. Midnight was 12 o'clock, and night time was 6 to 9. So 6 to 9 was evening, 9 to 12 is midnight, 12 to 3 would be the cock crowing when the rooster crows, and 3 to 6 is morning. If you divide that up into four parts, that'd be when the Lord come to 500 A.D., the first watch, 500 A.D. to 1000 A.D., second watch, 1000 A.D. to 1500 A.D., the cock crowing, that's when Martin Luther, the reformer, cried, ar, 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 and the church came out of the underground, 1500 A.D., and in 1500 to 2000 A.D. would be the morning. Now, our calendar's off just a little bit, one way or the other, and so we're at 2006 round. But any way you cut the cake, brother, we are at the last day and the last day, few hours of time before the rapture of the church. And it's our job to stay awake all night. Now, you know, if you're traveling on a trip with somebody, they're going to say, "What? Are you sleepy? No. Are you sleepy? Well, I'll drive first and you take a nap." And everybody wants to drive first. You know why? Because it gets 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. It gets worse and worse. Nobody wants that 4 to 6 shift. Driving. I don't. I've done it many, many, many times. Lord have mercy. It's one where I ain't been killed 1,000 times. Many times I've drove all night trying to get somewhere. And I have people all the time say, "Preacher, you ought to take somebody with you." Don't do no good. They don't stay awake. Can't sleep with them driving. So I might as well be driving. I'm just one of them people. If you can sleep with somebody else driving, I envy you, man. I envy you. I'm jealous. I just can't do it. Boy, I'll sit down over there. And I'll say, now you sure you're awake? Are you sure you're awake? Yeah, I'm fine. And I'll go back like this. And just about the time I do, they'll hit a bump and I'm wide awake. I mean, the least little swerve in the car. You can do like this. Are you all right? Are you all right? It's torture, man. It's torture. We was coming down the mountain one time. Me and these bunch of boys, we'd been way out in Missouri. Just bought some church pews for a church at New Manna. And went crazy. God, I let them drive. And I stayed awake all night long. I was about to die. We'd been up all day, all night, and then all day the next day, and then driving home. And I'm telling you, we loaded pews all along the back of the big old truck, and I was about to die. And I said, if I don't go to sleep, and my eyes was burning. And so finally I went to sleep, and in the back of that van I was laying down, and every time I could see us hitting a truck. You ever done that? You could see you just switching into a big old truck. And then you think, like, we're going to wreck. We're going to wreck. Oh, God, please don't let us wreck. God, please. Now, are you all right up there? He said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I doze off a little bit. "Are you all right up there?" "Yeah, I'm fine." And every time, "Are you all right up there? What was that?" "Nothing, Brother Danny, nothing. Somebody slammed on the brakes in front of us." I'm telling you, it's awful. It's awful. And finally, I got to where, you got to where you didn't even care if you wrecked or not. You ever been like, "Well, heck with it, man. If we die, we die. I'm going to sleep," you know. Have you ever felt like that? You finally think, "Good night, I can't stay awake no longer. If we get killed, we just get killed." And then you wake up, no, I got to stay awake. One of them guys one time, we stopped in Asheville after coming through the most dangerous part of Interstate 40 from here to California. From Asheville to over at Gatlinburg, that's the worst part of Interstate 40 from here to California. I know. I drove it. And, buddy, we come through them mountains like this, up and down, around them curves, tractor and trailers on one side, brick wall on the other side. We stopped over and got to eat, and I said, "Man, I'm glad you stayed awake." Then he started confessing. He said, "I didn't know where I was at." He said, "One time I thought I was in the back hanging up my clothes." I said, "You idiot! You could have killed us. Why didn't you wake us up?" But I tell you what, boy, it's awful. And you know what? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I've done that. I've had visions, ain't you? Man, I've been driving all night before, and honestly, I hallucinate. Honest. I've done it lots. I did it yesterday evening, coming back in Gatlinburg. I was so sleepy. I mean, I was going down the road. I hit myself. I was like this, you know. I said, "Okay, you know, he's moving in this place right now. I feel him." I like that, you know. I open the sunroof. I stick my hands up the sunroof. I let air hit me in the face. I slap myself. I pinch myself. And you know what? It's hard to stay awake. And that's what you got to do in the race for God. Hey! Hey, look at me. And you know what's wrong with some of you folks tonight? The devil's put you to sleep. The devil's put you to sleep. You used to be on fire. You used to be wide awake. Used to eat, pray, be on fire for God. But now you're like, "He's moving in this place right now. I feel him like that." You're out of it, man. You're out of it. And I'm alarm clock. Wake up. Wake up. Christians, stay awake. I'll tell one on Roy Lee. You want me to tell that one on you? He'll deny it, but it's the truth. He went to a trip with me out to Florida one time. We went to Florida. We had to drive back all night long. All night driving. And we worked it out. "Now, brother, there ain't no use in killing ourselves. Well, I'll drive a while, you drive a while. Drive a while, you drive a while." And our plan was, I think, to drive 2 hours. Or was it an hour or 2 hours? 2 hours. And he'd drive from 12 to 2. I'd drive from 2 to 4. He'd drive, and we'd drive all the way home like that. And boy, we was coming up the road, and I was getting sleepy. And every time he'd drive, I couldn't sleep. And then soon as he'd get over there and I'd drive, he'd go to sleep and I was about to die to go to sleep. And have you ever been about to die to go to sleep and you finally think, if I can make it to the next exit, I'm going to pull off somewhere and I'm going to go to sleep. I've done that many a time. Pulled off down in a truck, stopped somewhere, looked around to see if I was all right. You know what I used to do? I used to take a pistol with me. I don't do this anymore, but I used to all the time. And I'd go to a rest area, and I'd lay down and go to sleep. I kept that pistol right on my chest like it. So if somebody's going to come up and kill me, they'd see that gun lay on my chest, and they'd be scared to. But then I got to thinking, Lord, what if I shoot myself, I pulled that trigger, and I didn't do that. I figured I was more dangerous to myself than some old thug was. Me and Jason run into some thugs up here in the rest area one night. Remember that? That was a scary place. If you go to sleep, don't stop at a rest area. There's some killers hanging around them places. You go to, a restaurant that's open where there's cars coming in and out and the cops sitting over. So I'd go to them places. Then I'd lay down like this to go to sleep and a light would be shining right in the window. And I'd try to cover up my head like that. Then a big old truck, And I'm not one of these people. I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. I mean, if I ain't got some, I envy people. Matter of fact, I don't even really sleep at night when I'm asleep, I don't think. I'm about awake. I can wake up at any time of the night. You might not believe this, but call me. No, don't. Just check it sometime. I can wake up at any time of the night. I've tried it, and I tell you within 20 minutes what time it is. That's how light I sleep. And I know that's awful, and I know that means I'll probably die of a heart attack any time, but I can't help it. I've always been that way. I can wake up in the middle of the night, and I try it all the time. I'll say, I bet it's 3:30, and I'll look over and it'll say 3:10 or something like that. That ain't good, man. But it's good if you can do that spiritually. But me and him were driving up the road, and we was driving up the road, and every little bump, if a door opens, if a cat meows, man, I'm awake just like that. Some of you people, you can go to sleep and sleep all night. I don't think I've ever slept a whole night in my life, when I was a little kid. But anyway, he would drive and I'd drive, he'd drive and I'd drive, and I'd wake him up and he'd say, "Brother, it can't my turn again." And you know what he accused me of doing? He'd drive about 15 minutes and punch the clock up 2 hours. And I'd say, "All right, it's your turn." I didn't do that. I did not do that. He just claimed I did. Yeah, that's right. We noticed when we got home, our clock was about 4 hours fast. But I didn't really. But he said, "Man, you just set that clock up. It ain't been no 2 hours." The problem is I couldn't sleep when he was driving, and I couldn't stay awake when I was driving. Man, I've been driving down the road before. One time I thought I saw this real skinny hitchhiker. I thought, "Man, what's that guy doing out here hitchhiking at night like this?" And I looked at him, and I got real, and it was a sign, like a stop sign. I said, "My God, man, I'm seeing visions. I'm hallucinating." And one day I thought this truck was coming at me. I thought I saw a big old truck. Big truck come flying by like that, and it was them reflectors. On the side of the road, them reflectors. It wasn't a truck at all. And I thought, okay, I know when it's time to stop. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's the situation the church is in tonight. But it's hard to stay awake. It's hard. We're in the wee hours of the morning, people. I mean, we ain't in the 1950s no more. I'm telling you, all hell broke loose on the church. The devil's doing everything he can to put every church out of business. We ought not to be glad when we hear something bad happen in another church. We ought to pray that every church would be a lighthouse. We ought to pray that every preacher would get on fire for God. We ought to pray that every church, brother, if there's ever a time when churches ought to stay awake, stand up, shake ourselves, and say, "We'll sleep when we get there. It's time to stay awake in our greatest hour of opportunity." You know what we're doing? We're sleeping through our greatest hour of opportunity. Let me tell you what the Bible says just a bit about sleep. 1 Corinthians 15:34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." Ephesians 5:14. "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Proverbs 6:9. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Proverbs 20:13. "Love not sleep lest thou come to poverty. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Mark chapter 13, 5:36. Watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he shall find you sleeping. Now the Lord wasn't talking about just laying down in physical sleep. The Lord was talking about asleep at the wheel, asleep at the job. I know people that used to be bus workers just sitting back there sound asleep on God. People that used to preach just sound asleep on God. People that used to sing in the choir is just sound asleep on God. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to kick ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stick our hands out the sunroof. We've got to kick ourselves up. We've got to say, dear God, help us to stay awake. Don't let us give in and just go to sleep and let the church die. Let us rise up and get on fire for you and let the church be alive. Nobody likes an alarm clock. That's what they used to call preachers that preach revival, alarmist. Nobody likes an alarm clock. I don't like it. I hate alarm clock. Don't you? I mean, everybody hates alarm clock. Man, you just finally get good in the sleep. I got a habit of waking up at 3:30 in the morning, and I'll get up and read my Bible and pray for about an hour, and then I go back to sleep, and right when you think you're, excuse me, really asleep, the clock goes off. Mine goes, beep, 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 beep. There ain't no pleasant way. People say, well, I just want to hear music when I come. It don't sound a bit better. I know people. Some of you probably do this. Let me help you. You say, well, I got to get up at 6 o'clock every morning, preacher, 5:30, whatever. I set my clock. I really don't have to get up until 6, but I set it for 6. And then the first time it goes off, I hit my snooze button. Now, why do you do that? Just torturing yourself twice. That's right. That's what you're doing. Because you know that first time, if anybody, you need to come to the altar. I see some people feeling guilty around. See, the first time it goes off, you think, God, oh, kill that thing. God, you reach over and you, oh, shut up. Well, you've done had the torture of having to wake up. Then you hit the snooze button, you go back to sleep, and then it does it to you again. You might as well, like somebody come in there and slap you in the face, just get up first time. Don't say, come back and slap me in 15 minutes. What 15 more minutes? I can't even get back to sleep in 15 minutes. You say, boy, I can't. I know people. Some of you might like this, and I envy you. Please tell me your secret. I know people that can just go and say, well, good night, think, and just go to sleep. I'd give $1 million if I can do that. I don't see how in the world you do that. Brother, I do everything in the world. If I turn over, I roll over, I'm back and forth, I go to the bathroom, I turn the heat down, I do everything in the world, and I fight it just as long as I fight it. And finally, it's awful, I hate it. But I tell you something, brother, listen, spiritually speaking tonight, we ought to stay awake. We ought to be able to stay awake. We're sleeping through our greatest hour of opportunity. You know, Samson was one of the greatest men in the Bible. The strongest man in the Bible, physically speaking. Samson was a great man, and the Bible talks about old Samson. You know what he done? Went to sleep. And he laid his head in the wrong barber shop, brother. And he put his head down there, and he slept while Delilah took his power. I'm afraid that's what's happening to a lot of churches tonight. We're sleeping while the devil takes our power. Did you know tonight, if you went to the average Baptist church in Burke County tonight, there wouldn't be 15 or 20 people there? Did you know the average church, some of the churches in this area, maybe had 200, 300, and 400 this morning, and you go back tonight and there'll be 20 or 25. Go back Wednesday night and there'll be 10 or 12, and won't have another. Brother, they're sound asleep, just going to church on Sunday morning like zombies. Listen, brother, somebody's got to stay awake. Somebody's got to stay awake. Somebody's got to stay awake. We've got to hold on. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We've got to keep the wheel. We've got to keep the car on the road for these little boys and girls growing up. The Lord's a coming. Let's don't go to sleep and wreck here at this time of morning. You know what? I read about an Olympic diver, and this man was trained to be a dive in the Olympics, a professional. And you know, he could do all them fancy dives where they stand out there and go, boing, like that, and go in the water. And suddenly, they said he trained and trained and trained, and on the day of the big event, he laid down and took a nap. And his clock didn't go off, and he slept
through his biggest hour of opportunity. I remember back years ago when I first got saved, me and these boys go run around together all the time, and we used to listen to Big Wag, 105.3 FM. All that was the only best Christian station we knew at that time, and it was great. You know, they play country music during the day starting at 7. It's gospel all night long, 105.3. I preach on there. I've sung there every Sunday now for 25 years. But back then, we thought that was just the greatest thing in the world. Because Brother Ed McAbee was on there and other preachers. And I remember one time when I first got saved, they said, Big Waggy's having a big special all-night singing. And they said, this one's going to be there and that one's going to be there. Well, a bunch of us loaded up and went down there. And I had a little Toyota truck. And we put a mattress in the back of that Toyota truck because we was going to spend the night. There's three or four of us went. And we went down there. And I drove and I was tired because at that time, I think I was working third shift. I worked the third shift down over here in Lenore, that little knitting plant over there. And I preached every chance I got. I was about 19. And we drove down there, that to Gaffney. And they went in there. And I said, boys, I'm going to take me a nap. I laid down and slept for a little while. And I was listening to the radio. And I turned it off, went to sleep for about 45 minutes. They come out there and they went, Brother Danny, hey, hey. I said, what? They said, you ain't going to believe this. They said, we got to give our testimony on Big Waggy. I said, what? They said, we did. They said, where are you boys from? And said, one of the preachers knew us. We was marrying that big revival they had at Nebo. And they said, they called on us to give it to us. I said, you guys gave your testimony on Big Waggy. They're going all over thousands of places, four or five states. I about died. I said, well, now, boy, you big, lazy, sorry bum. You've been out here sleeping. You could have gave your testimony on Big Waggy. I could have kicked myself. I thought I had missed the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, I preach on there every Sunday for 30 minutes now, I don't think nothing about it. But back then, that meant the world to me. I thought, glory to God, thousands of people could have heard my testimony. And I slept, I never have forgot that. And I thought, you know, that's the way we are with the Lord. Listen, people, listen to me. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Right now, we've got the chance to go out Saturday and guess kids. We've got the chance right now. Let's don't sleep. You say, Brother Danny, I'm just so stressed out and I've just got a lot going on and things are going wrong in my life. No, you're sleeping through our hour of opportunity. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Now is our chance to do something. Your alarm clock's going to go off, call the rapture, and we're going to go home to be with the Lord. And you're going to say, oh my goodness, I could have waited until I got here to rest. I wasted the whole month of November not doing anything on Saturdays, not visiting, not praying, not reading my Bible. I didn't even go to Sunday school. I laid out of church. I slept through my greatest hour of opportunity. Let me say a couple things about this and I'll be done. At night, nobody can see very far. Think of all the great prophets in the last days. People like D.L. Moody and old Clarence Larkin. People like Moody and Spurgeon, Sam Jones, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, and all that. But you know, we're in darkness now. There ain't many people can see very far. They're some of the biggest Bible nuts out in this day and time there's ever been. People crazy. Crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. I mean, some of the wildest Bible doctrine, wildest Bibles. Every time you turn around, they don't know what the Bible says, don't know what the Bible teaches, don't know how to rightly divide it, don't understand doctrine, they don't understand dispensation, they have no clue of what's going on. Nobody can see very far. Have you ever noticed in the daytime you can see miles out there in front of you? In the nighttime, it's right there. And that's the way people are spiritually. It just goes from day to day. It's foggy. I've come off Spruce Pine Mountain one time. Anybody ever come down Cox's Creek from Spruce Pine to Marion? You know what I'm talking about. Man, it's curvy. And buddy, when it's foggy and raining, I'm telling you, you can't. I come up there one night, and honestly, you couldn't see from here that wall. I'm not lying. You couldn't see from here the wall. Sometimes you can't see 10 feet in front of your car. And I had this boy with me from Florida, and he wasn't used to the mountains. And I was coming down there. He said, Brother Dan, you're scaring me. Slow down. I said, I know this road like the back of my hand. I said, we're all right. I've been down through here 1,000 times, man. I was going down there, and all of a sudden, I looked like this, and right in front of my headlight was a bunch of weeds about this high. I said, whoa, where'd the road go? He said, man, we're off the road. And we was. I didn't even know it. I mean, weeds that high right in front of the headlight. I said, whoa. I couldn't even find the white line. You know, that's what I usually do when I'm coming down there. You just watch the outline and where it goes, wherever it goes, and go like that. But it was gone there for a little bit. We just went right up on the side of the road. Let me see him just a second. I've been waiting to do this. See this boy right here? He calmed down right there. Did you see him? Somebody got to keep a light on for him there. Somebody got to. Everybody been saying, Brother Danny, when are you going to go back there and get that boy? Well, here he is. Amen. And you tell him. You tell him, listen, if what's going to happen to him if everybody backslides? What's going to happen to him if churches close their doors? What's going to happen to him? Listen, God might be raising him up to take my place one of these days. He'll be up here screaming and hollering, pointing his finger just like I did. Now I know his mama say, no, he ain't going to be no preacher. And his daddy say, well, he's going to be a motorcycle rider. He can be a preacher that rides a motorcycle. Amen? Amen. And just come up there and go, wee, wee, you better get right with God. That's right. Amen. And you tell him, amen. That's right. Amen. You never know what God's liable to do. I've always thought, it's going to happen to me. About 30 years from now, you know, God might be getting him ready to be a pastor. Ain't that right? Ooh, he's ugly, ain't he? Ooh, he's a scary man. He's a scary man. But seriously speaking, what's going to happen to these little people like this, man? You know what happens when mom and daddy fall asleep at the wheel? Kids get hurt in the wreck. You know what? We got to stay awake for them. When you're driving all night and your family's in the back asleep, you start thinking, I can't wreck. No matter how hard it is, I got to stay awake. I got to stay awake for them. Don't you feel? Man, over many a night, my girls lay in the back seat, piled up on top of each other, and legs and arms over top of off the headrest. And I thank God, I can't wreck. They're in here. Think about that, parents. We can't wreck. We got to stay awake. They're riding with us. All them little kids that was in this choir a while ago, they're riding with us. And it ain't going to be long, just a few years. But they're going to be in school and facing temptation and drugs. Somebody got to stay awake for them. You say, well, it's just so hard and the devil's been tempting me. I'm just about ready to throw up my hands and quit church and quit the whole. No, you're wanting to go to sleep. And I'm saying, wake up! That's me. I'm an alarm clock. You're saying, it's snooze button on Preacher Danny. Try me again in a couple weeks. Let's just wake up. Let me tell you something else before I quit. At night, all the light on this earth is artificial. All the light on this earth is artificial except for the moon and the stars. And herein lies a great truth. Have you ever noticed that people that live in the city, as a general rule, live more wicked? There's more wickedness in the city. And you go out in the country and you find more down-to-earth, good people of the Lord. You know why? Because the city, if you go in the city, if you went in the middle of Charlotte tonight, you couldn't even see the moon. All them artificial lights. You couldn't see the moon. But go up Hoppy Tom tonight, about 12 o'clock. Boy, you can look up there and it's bright as that light right there. It's a big old round thing. Out in the country, that light shines. In the big city, it gets lost. And them artificial lights represents all the different religion and junk in the world. You go to a big city, there's Muslims and there's Jehovah's Witnesses and there's Mormons and there's all kind of junk and there's all kind of preaching and there's all kind of... My brother back there, Brother John, I spent a little while with him the other day and he was telling me, he's been in a lot of big cities and he was telling me he likes it around here because it's country and it's peaceful. And the light shines. The light shines. When I coming home the other night, do not try this at home. But the moon was so bright. You know what I think? Man, I bet I could drive with my lights off. And you know, if you're coming up 226 from Shelby to Marion, or 221 from Rutherford to Marion is where I was coming, I believe. I thought, man, I'm just going to try. So I turned my lights on, and buddy, you could see and see and see. And I thought, and I got to thinking about, well, if there's a deer there, you know, or what's some other fool coming down here trying the very same thing? He got his lights out. So I turned them back on. But, and you can just about drive with your lights out there in the country. And that's the way a church ought to be. Our light ought to be so bright that people can say, boy, I know where I can find something. All the light on this earth is artificial. Man, I hear nuts on TV. I don't understand. I'm not being critical. I'm not saying they're not saved. But when I get to heaven, I want to ask the Lord, why do the crazy preachers get to be on TV? All these good preachers, like we had in the camp meeting and everything, can't get on TV. And everybody on TV is a preacher just about is a nut. I saw one guy get on there, old Tilton out there in Texas. Do you know Tilton? He said, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I thought, what would I think if I just turned on the TV? I think it looked like he's having a seizure. I thought, good night, man. Calm down. And I've seen preachers on TV, and I think, Lord have mercy. What in the world ain't this stuff there? It's just crazy. And I thought, Lord, what in the world going on? Artificial light. Handling snakes. Thinking God told them to do it. You know, Armstrong, Christian Scientist, Mormonism. And the devil get one movie star in all them false religions to deceive people. And all these thousands of people say, well, Tom Cruise believed it, you know, and so-and-so believed it, you know, and Mana's a bala who bala bala, whatever she is, and all that. So it must be all right. That's artificial light, brother. It's artificial light. She probably belongs to Hezbollah. And the last thing is at night, sleepier and sleepier because the sun is about to come up. Man, I've been driving many a time. And if you're driving east, like if you're coming this way from that way, and you're driving, if you're coming east, it's a blessed sight. You know, you're driving, it's about 5:30, 15 to 6, and the sky starts lightening up. And it starts turning a little bit red, and then you see the sun pop up. You say, glory to God about it. Well, one of these days, I know it's dark right now. I know you don't want to, always read your Bible and pray and go to church now, but you know what we ought to do? Just keep it going, and we're going to see the sun pop up. The Lord's coming. I feel like there's people here tonight. You was doing real good in the bus ministry a month ago, a year ago, and now you just about quit. You was doing real good witnessing at work, trying to live for God, and you just... You know, you're just out snoring on God. It's tie time.